in the seven signs of in John's Gospel. And this morning we're looking at where's the bread pointing? Where's the bread pointing? And if you open Bibles or your Bible app or whatever other method from which you read to John chapter 6, we're not going to read the whole chapter. It's got 71 verses, so we're not going to read the whole chapter, but certainly we're going to read a couple of verses from it. You see the heading there is that Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is the fourth sign in John's Gospel. Water into wine, healing the nobleman's son from afar. Last week was the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. This week it's the feeding the 5,000, signs that point to something about Jesus. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same name, or it's a different name for the same place. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. When Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples, and then we are told that the Jewish Passover festival was near. John never writes stuff that's gratuitous. It's always there for a reason. And he just puts in there that the Jewish Passover festival was near, and we'll come back to that in a moment. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him out of his own resources, he answers him by the way. It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one just to have a bite, a morsel. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish." Little barley loaves, they were kind of the cheapest, the peasant food, and the fish were tiny, just to kind of spread onto the bread, just to give it a bit of flavor. That's what's going on there. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now that's the sign. You'll see the next heading is Jesus walks on water, and that's actually the next sign. And we will do that next week. And then when they come to him on the other side is when he actually explains to them what the sign means. But we're not going to read that this morning. Passover in those days was always a time of increased nationalistic fervor in Israel. It was a time when all the Jews remembered that in their history it was the night before God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And the Passover became an annual celebration. And in order to set the context for the sign, John inserts, "The Jewish Passover festival was near." So it was around about that time. He tells us that because he wants us to know that this meant that there was a sense of expectancy among the Jews. When they remembered that God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, it was a time when they remembered that surely God is able to deliver us again from our Roman overlords. And so there was this nationalistic expectation. They thought back to the Passover, the night the angel of death moved throughout Egypt and passing over the homes of the Israelites. And then back in the history, after the angel of death had come, the Israelites had set out on their journey to the promised land. Of course, the challenges of looking after a nation-sized group of people in the desert were enormous, not the least of which was the challenge of providing food for them. But God had a plan, and that plan was called manna. Those flakes which every day came down from the sky and settled on the ground and could be collected. Manna was God's amazing provision for his people in the desert. And that too the Jews would remember around the Passover time. The passing of years brought with them a growing sense of expectancy. God's Messiah must soon come. He might even come this Passover. And surely if Messiah came, he would overthrow the Roman overlords. Maybe this Passover. And it was into that charged atmosphere that Jesus comes. And Jesus starts performing these signs and wonders. Jesus starts doing things which were fulfilling what the Old Testament had prophesied Jesus would do. The lame were walking, the blind were seeing, and as John records it for us, the miraculous signs were just that, miraculous signs pointing to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. But as we saw last week, we daren't picnic at the sign. We need to follow the sign to see the thing to which it is pointing, to see what new thing we can learn about Messiah. We need to follow the sign because, as John told us, these miraculous signs are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why the signs were given, to point us to Jesus as Messiah, that we can believe him and enjoy life in his names. Today we look at the fourth of these signs, a sign that takes place when the Jewish Passover festival was near. So this sign takes place in the context of messianic expectancy. Now, this is the only miraculous sign recorded in all four of the Gospels. And so it was clearly an important sign in the minds of the apostles. Each of the Gospels record it. The context, we read this in the other Gospels, the context is that Jesus had sent his disciples out on a missions trip. They had done amazing things on this missions trip. They had come back excited but exhausted. And in order to allow the apostles to rest, Jesus took them over the lake in order to rest them and to debrief them. We read this. Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he went up a mountainside, and he sat down with his disciples. But the crowd would not be denied. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Jesus has compassion on them. He spends the day teaching the crowds. We read that there were 5,000 plus in that crowd. And then having done that, Jesus kind of wonders out loud to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Jesus asked this only to test him, for Jesus already had in mind what he would do. Now, we know the story. Philip can only think in terms of his own very limited resources. Andrew does a little better. He finds a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he isn't that hopeful either. What can we do with this? But nevertheless, he brings the boy to Jesus. Jesus looks at this, instructs the apostles, have the people sit down in an orderly fashion. Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Now, that was the miraculous sign. Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he kept on handing them out to the apostles to distribute. And I try and get into my mind what it would have been like to be there, and I often wonder how it would have worked. Did the loaves kind of multiply in Jesus' hands? Did he break it and hand it, and as he went back, the loaf had grown again? I don't know how he did it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The record stands. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. That's the record. And it is clear that Jesus' provision was not just sufficient for those there. In fact, it was more than enough, because when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. That was the miraculous sign. Jesus multiplies the loaves and he feeds the 5,000 plus people. Now, last week I belabored the point, and I'm going to do it again this week. We do not picnic at the sign. We follow the sign to see where it is pointing. And this sign shows clearly what happens if we do choose to picnic at the sign. It shows what happens if we regard the sign as the important thing rather than looking to see the thing to which the sign is pointing. Look at what the people did. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." They saw the sign and they made that decision. What do they mean when they refer to the prophet? Well, in order to understand that, we need to go back 1,000 years from where they were at that point in time. And 1,000 years before that, the Israelites were in the wilderness. And Moses was their leader. And Moses had asked God, and manna had been provided, those amazing flakes that sustained the people through 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And it was sometime during that period of wilderness wandering that Moses had said to the people, "The Lord your God will at some future day raise up for you a prophet like me," like Moses, "from among you, from your own people, and you must listen to him." So Moses had given them a sense of expectancy that at some future time, a prophet like him, like Moses, would be raised up from among the people. There was this expectation that in the future, God was going to raise up a prophet. Many years passed. Many pretenders had come claiming to be the prophet. But now, when it was near the Passover, and as we have seen, with that was this time of nationalistic fervor when messianic expectations were high, into that atmosphere steps Jesus, and Jesus performs what they see as a miracle, although for Jesus it was a sign, and it was meant to point to something big about himself. But these people grabbed the sign. They held on to it. They added up 2 plus 2, and sadly they didn't get the answer of 4, for then 2 plus 2 meant this is the fulfillment of what Moses had spoken about 1,000 years earlier. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to him." Yes, they said, Jesus is that prophet. More than that, he's not just a prophet. He must be Messiah. The role cast Jesus, the crowds cast Jesus into the role of Messiah. But not the Messiah as God had said he would be. He was a political delivering Messiah. He was the one who would overthrow the Romans and give them their land back. That's all they were interested in. And so because of this expectation that they had from camping at the sign, rather than looking to where the sign was pointing, the people began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is coming to the world." And how did Jesus respond? Knowing that they intended to make him king by force, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. It was never Jesus' plan and purpose that in that miracle to announce himself as Messiah who would deliver the people from Rome. But if we picnic at the sign, we will end up with the wrong expectations and end up disillusioned. For example, if we picnic at the first sign, the changing the water into wine, we're going to start thinking, well, as soon as we start running out of stuff, we can just pray, and Jesus is going to keep on multiplying it, and we're going to be disappointed. instead of seeing his provision for our salvation, where we'll never be disappointed. If we picnic at the second sign, the healing of the nobleman's son from a distance, we may expect that Jesus will always heal, when the point is actually Jesus wants us to believe him, not for what he can do for us, but simply for who he is, and rest content in him, regardless of circumstances, and we'll never be disappointed. If we picnic at the third sign, the healing of the man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years, we may expect Jesus to always heal and be disappointed, when the point of the sign is we can always come to Jesus for forgiveness and we will never be disappointed. If we picnic at the sign, we will get it wrong and we could end up disillusioned. That's what happens when we focus on the sign instead of looking to see where the sign is pointing. So where is the bread pointing? For this we need to go to verses 26 to 71. They say, Jesus left then. He went to the other side of the lake, and the people followed him. They followed him. They want more of Jesus. And so let's look at those couple of those verses to understand what the sign is all about. When the people come and he starts talking to them again, he starts by underlining the fact that they have missed the point of the sign. Truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs are performed, but because you ate the loaves and had the fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life. Jesus knows that they are not interested in who he is. From a spiritual point of view, they are interested in who he is because of what he can do for them. And so people ask Jesus, okay, what is a sign that you're going to give us that we may see it and believe you? But the way they phrase that question shows that the prophet and the manna and nationalism are not far from their minds. Look at that question. What sign will you then give? Our ancestors, that's where their mind was, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat. Not true, says Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses who had given them the bread from heaven. It was the Father in heaven who had given them the bread from the heaven. But the Father gives you so much more than manna. You see, my Father gives you true bread from heaven. True bread from heaven. Manna was given by the Father. And yes, manna did sustain you physically, but manna was pointing to something far more important. It pointed to the true bread from heaven, which the Father would give. And here comes the connection, for the true bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's where it was all pointing. Which raises the question, and what or who is that true bread come down from heaven? Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The manna in the wilderness pointed beyond itself. It was a sign ultimately pointing to Jesus, the bread of life who was to come. Yes, manna was amazing. But your ancestors, having eaten the manna, yet they died. They still got hungry. They died. Manna was only able to sustain physical life until natural death. And the same, may I say, could be said about the loaves which Jesus had miraculously multiplied. They could only sustain physical life. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which people may eat and not die. Which bread is Jesus now referring to? The loaves that he had just multiplied? Of course not. Because eating those loaves can only sustain physical life. Which bread then? And so Jesus repeats himself. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, whoever eats Jesus, will live forever. The manna, the multiplied loaves, they all pointed to Jesus, who is the bread of life. But here comes the final connection. here comes the thing that kind of holds it all together. But first, let's talk about communion. We've just celebrated communion. What happens at communion? We have the symbols, the bread and the wine. The bread represents the body of Christ. The wine represents the blood of Christ. When we celebrate communion, we are invited to eat the bread and drink the wine. That will help us make sense of Jesus' next statement. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, himself, the living bread, will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We are to eat the flesh of Jesus. What does that mean practically? Obviously, it's not literally. It simply means that we are to accept. We are to make our own. We are to allow to become part of us the forgiveness that Jesus offered because of his death on the cross. Practically, to eat his flesh means that we are to embrace the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. We are to make it our own. It is to become part of us. And we do that symbolically every time we eat at the communion table. I am the bread of life. The people camped at the sign. They wanted to make him king. He says, no, this is about what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give my life so that you can live forever. Why did John include the signs he did? Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. If we picnic at the sign, we are going to be disappointed. We are going to want Jesus to multiply our food, which he obviously can. Like the Jews, we may even want Jesus to come as a political redeemer. And may I say that in our country right now, wouldn't that be wonderful if Jesus came as our political redeemer? He will one day. The prayer, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's going to happen. And Jesus is going to reign. We don't have to be disappointed. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be fearful. Jesus remains king. And while he's not redeeming us now politically, he has redeemed us spiritually. And one day he's going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom right here on earth. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, says Jesus. However, if we camped at the sign, we may even want him to do it now and be disappointed and disillusioned. But if we kept going to where the bread points, we would see Jesus as the Messiah, the one who gave his body for us that we might have life. Not just endless life as we know it, but more and better life than we ever dreamed possible. If we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, we would have life in his name. Now, last week I invited those who had never received that life to respond to Jesus' offer of salvation. And the invitation goes out again today. If you've never experienced that, if you've never responded to that offer, today is the day. Please invite him so that he can give you this life. And if you decide to do that today, please let me know so that we can get together and pray together. But if this morning you have received that life, then you will agree that we have amazingly good news for our community. And the question is, how can we best serve our community by presenting Christ in a relevant and authentic way? And this is where I'm just giving a plug for Wednesday night at our Bible study / prayer meeting on Wednesday. You're going to have an opportunity to look at this message and to see how best we can take the 5 loaves and 2 fish which we have and multiply it in order to present Christ in a relevant way to our community. Shall we pray together?